Well, if the information on the camp brochure is correct, then the speaker at Senior Camp Reunion this weekend has been Reverend Paul Wright, and the topic that he was speaking on was What's Your Legacy? Well, I thought it might be an idea to try to some extent to tie in with that line of thought in terms of what I would preach on today at this worship service. And I had that all worked out, and I had my decision made, and I was ready. And then I thought, well, maybe I should just check with Paul to see what he's actually intending to speak on. And I was all ready to speak about the life of Lot, and then I discovered that that's one of the people he was going to be talking about. And so on Wednesday, I had to think again. And I did want to speak on a Bible character. And I've decided to speak on the character that we've read of in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, King Josiah. And I have spoken on King Josiah before, and I will probably speak on King Josiah again. He is one of my favorite Bible characters, and he is an inspiring character. He's not one of those people that you look at and you see the things that he got wrong and you learn from his mistakes, but rather he is someone who got so many things right in a difficult life situation. I was watching the news last night, and I was shocked to hear about the death of Caroline Flack at 40 years old. I don't know much about her work, but I know what she's been involved in, and she's gone, taking her own life. 40 years of life, a life that tied in with the spirit of the age in which she lived. And I'm going to talk to you now about a man who lived for about 40 years. And his life did not tie in with the spirit of the age in which he lived. Josiah died around the age of 40 years old. And I want to speak about his life. 5 points about his life, and then one final other brief point at the end. First thing I want to say about the life of King Josiah is about God's advance planning. There's something unusual about Josiah, and that is that long before he was ever born, his coming was announced. After the reign of King Solomon, the kingdom was divided, and Solomon's son Rehoboam reigned over Judah, and Jeroboam the first reigned over Israel. Jeroboam set up golden calves in Dan and Bethel, and they were an alternative to the right worship of God in Jerusalem. What he did was totally against what God had commanded. And in First Kings chapter 13, we're told about how God sent a prophet from Judah to Bethel. And the prophet spoke against the false altar that Jeroboam was worshipping at. And he declared, 1 Kings 13 verse 2, he said, "Behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you," that's on that altar, "he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you." The prophet announces that there's a future king coming of the line of David. His name will be Josiah, and on that altar he would sacrifice the priests who engaged in false worship. And sure enough, about 300 years later, a child is born in the line of David, and he is given the name Josiah. And he did exactly what was foretold of him 300 years earlier. You can read about that in 2 Kings 23, particularly verses 15 to 20. So Josiah was unusual in that his coming into the world was announced 300 years before it actually happened. But Josiah wasn't unusual in that God had planned what Josiah would do in life before Josiah ever came into the world. That is the same for all of us. Our lives are not random events, but our lives are planned out. And God had Josiah's life planned out, and God announced it 300 years in advance. Our times also are in God's hands. God knows the time at which we will come into this world and the time at which we will leave this world. God knows all the circumstances we will encounter during the course of our days in this world. God has our life story written in advance. As God had a plan for Josiah, so he has a plan for us, and there is nothing that God has overlooked. There is no situation in which a follower of Jesus Christ will find themselves so out of their depth that there's no way to cope in those situations. God has planned what you will need in those situations. Our lives are planned. They are planned by one who plans all things, and his plans never fail. And so as you young folk look to the future and you wonder where you'll be in a few years' time, well, take comfort and take heart from the thought that there is an all-wise God who has planned your way. He has planned the course of your life, and your life is one that he has marked out for you. He knows what's round every corner. He knows what you'll need in every situation. Your life is a life that has been planned in advance. Second thing I want to say about King Josiah is that in him we see a healthy single-mindedness. He begins to reign as king when he is very young. He's just 8 years old when he becomes the king of Judah. If he had applied to go to Discovery Camp, he would have said, no, he would have been told, "No, you're too young. Can't go to Discovery Camp, but you can be king of Judah." That's the way it was. By the time he was the age to go to senior camp, by the time he was 15 or 16, he began to take the things of God seriously. He became really serious about serving God. Religion ceased to be a hobby or a game or something that didn't really matter. It became all important to him. And we read about how he sets about purging the land of Judah of all the false religion that was here, there, and everywhere in Judah in his days. And he also sets about repairing the temple of the Lord and restoring the temple worship, because that had been badly neglected. In the summary of his reign that we have in verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 34, it tells us that in doing all of these things, he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And that was a good thing. Didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Josiah grew in his understanding. He grasped what really mattered in life. He knew what was important. And what was important was that only God should be worshipped, and that God should be worshipped in the right way. That's what was important. That was his priority. And he didn't allow himself to get sidetracked into dealing with other issues that weren't as important as the worship of Almighty God. And that was a good thing in Josiah. And he is commended by the Lord God that he didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And that will be a good thing for you in life also. And you need to work hard at, in this modern age, at not getting sidetracked. There are so many distractions in the world around us, so many interesting things that can occupy our attention and distract us from things that are important, that are all important. And we vary from person to person as to what the things are that will sidetrack us. And if I was to pick one thing, well, that might annoy you, and you would rebel against it. So you need to think for yourself, what are the things that get you sidetracked? What are the things that you waste your time on? And the time is gone. And what you thought you could have been doing, you never got around to doing. And instead, you did all these useless things instead. Josiah didn't get sidetracked. And in life, when you're young, you need to choose what really matters in life. You need to determine what is important and what is valuable. You can't do everything in life. And so you have to choose, I'm just going to leave these things because there's more important things to give myself to. And you need to make those choices for yourself because you know what? If you don't make those choices, other people will make them for you. And you'll live your life according to the expectations of others. What they value, what they see as being important. Well, choose for yourself what's important. Choose for yourself what really matters. The Lord Jesus Christ taught his followers to seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what Christ calls you to do if you're a follower of his. Put the things of God first in your life. Decide what really matters, and then give yourself to the things that really do matter. And don't turn aside from those things. Don't get caught up in other things that might be good in themselves, but they're not the most important things. Josiah saw what was most important, and he gave himself single-mindedly to those things. May that be true of you also. A healthy single-mindedness. Third thing about King Josiah is that we see him honoring God's word. In the midst of all the work to get the temple renovated and restored, part of the scriptures that had been lost were rediscovered. Now that tells you everything about the kind of days that Josiah lived in. They lost part of the scriptures. How could you lose that thing, that most precious thing, the very word of God? How could they lose part of the scriptures? But they did. Scriptures didn't matter in those days. They were grim days. And when Josiah read these rediscovered scriptures, he found that God's people were very, very guilty of great sins. And the prophetess Huldah confirmed that Josiah was reading the scriptures correctly. And she confirmed to him that God indeed was going to bring against his people all those things that he threatened to bring against them in the scriptures. God had said, if you do these things, I'm going to come against you. And Josiah read the scriptures and he saw, well, that's exactly what we've been doing. And he asked the question, does that mean that God is going to come against us? And the answer is, yes, he is. And yet, he is also told that because he himself has humbled himself and wept before the Lord, and because these things really did matter to him, that he himself would be spared from seeing the great disaster that was coming against God's people. And in the face of those sobering words, the written words that were rediscovered, and the word of God through the prophetess Huldah. Josiah was faced with a grim situation. And we find that when he hears what God is saying, that he gives himself with renewed vigor and energy to doing the things that are written in God's word. The things that nobody had been doing, God has said you must do these things, hadn't been happening at all. Well, Josiah seeks to get God's people back into obedience to the word of God. And so we read how towards the end of chapter 34, he gathers the leaders and he gathers the people together. He reads to them the word of God and he says, this is what God says. And he enters into covenant with the Lord and he seeks to impress upon the people that these things are of utmost importance, that what God says really matters. And see what it says there in verse 33, the last verse of the chapter. This is how Josiah went about things. Then Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Here's a man who took God's word seriously. He took on board the things that he found in the scriptures, and he sought new obedience to the word of God. Josiah sought to be a doer of God's word and not a hearer only. And we will do well when we copy him in that. We need in our day to take God's word seriously. God will show us his ways in the scriptures. And we need to choose those ways for ourselves. And we need to seek to bring others along with us in choosing the ways of God. That's what Josiah sought to do. He took God's word seriously. Are you taking God's word seriously? Does it really matter what the scriptures say? Will you just do your own thing? You just do what suits you, what pleases you, or do you want to do what pleases God? We should be thankful that we live in a part of the world where we have the scriptures. And we have the whole of the scriptures. There's no bits missing. We have the whole of the scriptures. And the scriptures are freely available to us. We have them in our own language. We have all sorts of Bible versions available. And that is a great blessing. In history, there have been times when powerful leaders and influential thinkers of the day, they've tried to destroy the scriptures, or they've predicted that the scriptures will soon be abandoned. But God has overruled. In the dangerous times of the early centuries of the Christian church, the Roman emperors were great enemies of the cause of Christ. The Roman emperor Diocletian once ordered that all the copies of the Bible be destroyed. Every copy of the Bible was to be destroyed. That was the order of the Roman emperor. What a threat that was. Didn't work, though, because God overruled. Throughout history, there have been those who have seen themselves as being much wiser than the scriptures. The French skeptic Voltaire in the 1700s, he predicted that within 100 years, Christianity and the Bible would be non-existent. And he was wrong. And lots of people nodded when he said those things. Lots of people thought, yes, he's probably right. That's the way things are going. We're making progress in these days. We're leaving behind the dark ages of the scriptures, and we're going forward into into a new era, a new way of thinking, a new morality. And 50 years after Voltaire said those things, the Genevan Bible Society were using Voltaire's printing press to produce their Bibles, and they were using his house to store the Bibles in. Voltaire was gone. The Word of God was alive and flourishing. And we have God's Word. And we are greatly blessed in having God's Word. There are millions of believers in China today, and many of them don't have the Scriptures. And they would love to have the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of believers in China receiving a copy of the Scriptures, and the joy that is to them, and the preciousness of what they have in their hands. Well, we have God's Word in our hands. And in the Word of God, you find the will of your Father in heaven. And if that matters to you, well, then you'll take God's Word seriously, just as Josiah took God's Word seriously. Josiah was a man who honored God's Word. Fourth thing about Josiah is we see him as a man holding the fort alone. He sets us a wonderful example, I believe, of willingness to stand alone for the cause of God. Josiah lived in difficult days. He lived in days where there really wasn't much real interest at all in the things of God. He lived at a time when Judah was full of false religion, full of superstition, full of all sorts of empty things. And he lived in days when Judah was earmarked for fall and destruction. Huldah, the prophetess, confirmed that the disaster God threatened in the Scriptures, it was coming. And Josiah heard those words, and he read those words. And yet he did not despair. He did not come to the conclusion, well, there's nothing I can do. Things are going in the wrong direction. God is coming in judgment, so there's no point. Now, why did he not come to that conclusion? Well, maybe he believed that if the people humbled themselves and repented, that maybe God would be merciful. Well, maybe he did think that, but doesn't actually say that in the Scriptures. All that we're told is that he gave himself wholeheartedly to doing all that he possibly could to see God being honored in his land in his day. Josiah wanted to see God's will done on earth. Where was God's will going to be done on earth in those days? All the nations of the world worshipped their false gods. There was one little place on the earth where the true God was worshipped. And that was the place where Josiah had been called to serve. And if God's will wasn't going to be done in the land of Judah, where would it be done? And he was a man who had a heart to see God's will done on earth. I used to minister in Scotland, and I enjoyed seeing some of the sites where significant things in Scottish Covenanter history took place. One of the great Covenanter preachers was Donald Cargill, and Donald Cargill was one of a very few men who were courageous enough to stand against the ruling authorities of the day, and he refused to acknowledge that the king was the head of the church and that the government had the right to tell God's people how they were to worship God. And he was hounded by the authorities, by the dragoons, had to flee for his life. And there were many other ministers in the day, and they compromised and they did what they had to do that they could stay on in their manses and they could be in their parishes and they could minister to their people and the government wouldn't bother them as long as they did what they were told. And one of them lived in the parish where I ministered. It was called Cambus Nethin. His name was William Violent. And William Violent said of Cargill and the Covenanters, he said, "Why all this ado?" He said, "We will get heaven and they will get no more." And when Donald Cargill read or heard what William Violent had said, his response was, "We will get God glorified on earth, which is more." And he was committed to seeing God's will done on earth. It mattered to him that God should be honored here on earth in the days that he lived in. And it mattered to Josiah also. And he was willing to hold the fort alone when everybody else was quite happy to go off down the wrong roads. He was the one who was holding it together as best he could. And he set about his work of reformation, and he did it with all the strength and all the zeal that he could muster. And he worked hard as he could, at steering the nation in a Godward direction. And yet we find that although the people went along with what he was saying, although the people went through the motions, their hearts were never in it. This is what it says in 2 Kings when it tells us the story of King Josiah. 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 24 to 26. It says, "Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the works of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him." And then it says, "Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger was aroused against Judah, because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him." And Josiah gave himself with all his heart to holding the fort, and yet it wasn't enough. But he was right. He was right to do what he did. And he is commended in the scriptures for what he did. And his legacy is a good legacy. And Josiah raises the question of all of us, are we willing to stand for truth in our day? Are we willing to stand for the cause of God? Are we willing to do it when there isn't anybody else that will stand with us? Are you willing in your class at school to be the one person who stands for the morality of Jesus Christ rather than 21st century Western morality? Are you willing to do it because what God thinks really matters to you? Are you willing to stand alone because it's more important to you that God should be honored than that you should be respected? That's the choice you might have to make. Do you want to be respected by others, or do you want God to be honored? Josiah wanted God to be honored. Josiah was willing to hold the fort alone. Fifth thing I'm going to say about Josiah is about getting things wrong. This might be a bit disappointing to you. But for me, I draw encouragement from it. One of the reasons Josiah is a favorite character of mine is that in his zeal for the Lord, he got things wrong. Some people never had that experience. In his zeal for the Lord, he got things wrong. Josiah died fighting a battle that he didn't need to fight. You can read about that towards the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 35. He was concerned about what was happening in the world around him. He wanted the Assyrians to be hammered by the Babylonians. The Assyrians were ripe for judgment as far as he was concerned, but the Egyptians were marching north to help the Assyrians against the Babylonians. Josiah didn't want them to get there, and he went out to stop the Egyptians, and he was killed. And that was the end of him. He was gone. A man who had been doing so much for the good of his land, and he was just suddenly gone. He was taken. And it was something he didn't need to do, but in his zeal, he wanted to do it. We read there in 2 Kings 23:24, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. There was no one like him, and yet he still got things wrong. His efforts were not enough to spare the nation. Josiah got things wrong. He got so much right, but he also got things wrong. And I would say to you young folk, don't be afraid to be like Josiah. Josiah had a heart for God, and he sometimes got things wrong. In his zeal for the Lord. And what if Josiah had played things safe? What if he had always done the politically correct thing in Judah and did what people wanted? Well, it would be saying something very different about him in the Scriptures. And you have a choice in life. Sometimes you can play it safe, and then you'll not make any mistakes. But it's better to have a zeal for God and to get things wrong. I remember at my ordination in Wishaw, my minister from Lima Valley, John Hawthorne, said in his speech that he said to the congregation that I would get things wrong, and he told them to put up with it. Well, of course he was right, but there's a good getting things wrong. If you get something wrong because you've got a zeal for the Lord and you're wanting to see something happening, well, that's a good way to get it wrong. Better that than doing nothing. Josiah got things wrong out of his zeal. And we would do well to have the kind of zeal that this man had. Well, he is a great character. Read about him in 2 Chronicles. Read about him in 2 Kings. Admire him for how he stands out in dark days. And strive to follow this man and all that he does that's good. Then the last thing I want to say today is about Jesus, who is a greater king. And in Jesus Christ, we have a king who is greater than Josiah. All that is good in Josiah is there also in Jesus, but the failings that are there in Josiah are not found in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, he fulfilled all that was foretold of him. He was careful that the Scriptures would be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't get sidetracked from his mission. He remembered that he had come to seek and to save those who were lost, and he didn't get sidetracked by popularity. He remembered it was a cross that he had come for. Jesus Christ took God's word seriously. He was committed to doing the will of his Father in heaven. Jesus Christ was willing to stand alone He was willing to do what nobody else could do. And whereas Josiah got things wrong, Jesus never got anything wrong. In his zeal, he did not sin. And unlike Josiah, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bring all of his people with him. What Jesus Christ did was good enough. What he did does bring real change and does make a difference, an eternal difference. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't die a pointless death. He died a death that will make all the difference for a vast multitude of people. In Jesus Christ, we have a greater king than Josiah. Title of the camp reunion talks was, "What's Your Legacy?" Well, the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to follow him. To follow him, whatever the cost might be to you. And when you follow him, you will be part of his legacy. And it's his legacy that is the all-important thing. So remember this great godly king, King Josiah, and look to Jesus Christ, who is greater still. Amen.